sure desire your prayers today. I don't know how this is going to work. The Lord's going to have to help us, I know that. I've been battling a cough and cold for quite some time. But I do want to endeavor to be faithful. And I believe the Lord will help us to do that. I, sitting there thinking, listening to the songs and thinking about life in general, I just want to start off this morning by saying that if you're endeavoring to live for the Lord, that all hell is in array against you. Quite a thought, isn't it? All hell is in array against you. I want to talk this morning, the help of the Lord, about the power of one. The power of one. Of one. O-N-E. Jesus said in his prayer, when he was giving a type of a prayer for the disciples to pray, we call it the Lord's Prayer, but he said at the end of the prayer, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." In the 13th chapter of Romans, Paul said, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. They that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." Now, Paul said in another place in the first chapter of Romans that the gospel of Christ was the power of God. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to those that believe. So having said that, I want to read it again. "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." All power is of God. What is power? Is power the majority? Is power numbers? Is power something that you can get on your own? The scripture says all power is of God. And God, just for us to kind of reminisce a little bit, God has manifested His power all down through the annals of time. All through the Old Testament and even through our New Testament and our time today, God has manifested Himself through His power. We can say the enemy has power, but his power is borrowed. He doesn't have any authority or power of any kind unless God will allow him. He had to come to God to get a permit to do what he did to Job. And God has the power. He has the control of it. And I'm glad he does. But God has chosen to transfer some of that power that he has to his people. You and I can have power too. But he said to be subject unto the higher powers. There is no power but of God. I think about as God began to deal with man after man fell, and I'm certainly just going to hit some highlights here. I'm certainly not going to be able to cover the Old Testament Bible. But I remember when he was angry with man and chose to destroy man, and yet Noah there found he was doing things that was pleasing to God, and he found grace, and so God spared, but he still sent the flood, didn't he? He sent the flood. That there was power there. Man cannot do those kind of things. God sent the flood and it destroyed all mankind except 8 souls that were saved by water, the scripture says. I think about when they decided to build the Tower of Babel. They didn't ask God if they should do that. It was all a selfish thing. They wanted a tower that would reach up into heaven. And God wasn't pleased with that kind of a thing. God didn't manifest any kind of something, I don't know, can't get a hold of the word, something carnal. He didn't do something that was really evil or wicked, but he did something, just came down and saw what they were doing, and it confused their language. Power. God just confused their language and stopped the whole thing. He didn't send an army. He didn't send someone in to destroy, but he just came down and stopped their language. God knows how to use his power. He has the power. He is the power. There's a lot of things that we can attribute to God, but one of them is power. And he knows how to use it. When it was time for the children of Israel to be delivered out of bondage, he knew how to use his power. And he sent a couple of fellows, Aaron and Moses, over there, and he performed a lot of miracles that people had never seen before. But beyond all of that, after the king said for him to leave, when they got out there and headed toward the wilderness, they ran into the Red Sea, didn't they? And it was God with his power that reached down and delivered them. And he divided the waters, and his people walked across on dry ground. Power. He goes above and beyond what you and I are able to comprehend many times. He goes above and beyond. His ability is greater than we can conceive and understand. Because he's God. He's God that inhabiteth eternity. He's God that has lived forever and will live forever. He is the God that gives life and breath to you and I and everything else that is alive today. Power. When Elijah came to the people there and said, are you going to choose God or are you going to choose Baal? And he had them to build an altar and they put out their sacrifice, and Elijah prayed a prayer and God sent fire down to consume the sacrifice. Power. It came down from heaven, folks. And God sent it down and it consumed even with all the water that had been poured on it. God has power today. You know, man thinks that they're great. Man has developed nuclear arsenals, nuclear power, hydrogen power, all kinds of things to be used in time of war and destruction to destroy man. But God has the power through His Word to save the souls of men and deliver people from sin. He's got power. He can use it any way that He chooses. But He's the one with the power. Back in the days of the wars of the judges and the kings, they went against each other and they fought. And it really come down to depend on how that king walked before God, didn't it? When they went out into their battles, it really depended how he walked before God, whether they were going to win or whether they were going to lose. Think about the time that Gideon was going to go out with his little army against 100,000 men, and God said, your army's too big, and he brought them down to 300 men. And those 300 men, he said he wouldn't give his glory to anyone else. He's not going to give his glory to you. But if you're here this morning and you're living for the Lord, I want you to know he'll give you some power. And we can have some power too. He wants to manifest his power today through the church. Something that I know many of us love dearly is the church. But I want you to get a hold of this little thought. He wants to manifest his power through the church. But it begins with you and I. It begins with you and I. We are the ones that make up the church. Now, with all of that said, I'd like to go over here to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. It's been dealt with many, many times. And we can probably, the Lord's Word can be dealt with many, many more times and get good out of it. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, the title of my little message this morning is The Power of One. He said there is one body. There's one Spirit. As ye are called in one hope of your calling. You and I that are saved today, we have the same hope. Your hope's no different than mine. Your hope is in the same one that my hope was in. And it's in God. It's in the through the sacrifice of His Son and the life that He came to give for you and I. We have one hope of our calling today. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. You know, to me that's kind of simple to understand. Yet, I can look around the world today and I can see people believing all kinds of things. I can see believers promoting all kinds of things. All kinds of doctrines and all kinds of teaching. I can see men wanting to be lifted up and desiring to be leaders of things that they don't even fully understand. They're wresting the Scriptures, they're deceiving souls. And they're doing and saying things that for the profit of gaining maybe money or fame or authority or some kind of power themselves. See, authority is power. If you have authority, you've got some power. And I see people today coming up with all kinds of ways. You know, I've said it before. If God give us 999 ways to get to heaven, somebody would still be wanting that thousandth way. They'd still be looking for another way. Man's looking for another way today. So why is it that this power is so important, and why do you and I need power today? We need power, folks, to overcome. The enemy has set all hell arrayed against the church, which is you and I. And you and I need power to overcome all those things that the enemy has set up to come against the church. We need power, we need authority, we need strength, we need grace, we need God to give us the power that we need to stand true and faithful today. Yes. All right, if all hell is arrayed against you and I, what are you going to allow the enemy to bring your way that you're just going to throw up your hands and say, well, that's it, I'm not going any farther? What is it that you're going to allow to come your way and say, well, I can't overcome that thing, so I might as well just give up and give in? The church is not going to be successful that way. You're never going to be successful that way. The bottom line is, folks, and I'll drill it here as long as the Lord gives me breath, the bottom line is to make heaven. And whatever it takes to make heaven, and the gospel of Christ is the power of God, and it will help you make heaven. If you'll follow the gospel. And you'll stay with the gospel. And you don't try to interpret it with man's interpretations. And with other people's ideas and those kind of things. You follow the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because this is His power to you and I today. And I'm grateful for that. I'm thankful for that. There's one body. And there's one. What is that one body? Christ only had one body, didn't He? And He gave it for you and I. The one body today is the church. And the church has one spirit. And that's the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit of God. The only spirit He has. He gets blamed for a lot of other things that come from false spirits. But there's only one spirit. And He's the Spirit of truth, isn't He? One. We can understand one. The power of one this morning. One Lord. One faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Only one. And when He organized the church, and I'll have some things to say about that, with the help of the Lord, He gave the church some authority. He gave the church some power. I won't turn over, but I want to give you a scriptural reference. In the 16th chapter of Matthew, in the 19th verse, He told the disciples there, some people like to get the idea that He gave them to Peter, but He gave them to the disciples because over in the 18th chapter of Matthew, in the 18th verse, He talks to every one of them. And He tells them that I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. What are the keys? Folks, they are power. Because He said, I give you power to whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. God has not left His people without power and authority over hell. He hasn't left us without power. But it's up to you and I to get a hold of it and exercise it. We need power. Why do we need power? Because we have an enemy. The enemy has come against the truth right there, beginning in the garden, didn't he? He came against it in the garden. And he took advantage of Eve there. But I want us to understand some things this morning by the help of the Lord. Folks, God has given authority to the church. You and I, even and especially in this day and age that we're living in, with everything that is arrayed against the truth of God's Word, you and I should not, we cannot afford to bow down. We cannot afford to give in to those pressures that are being put upon us from the outside, accepting things that we know is not truth, accepting things that we know that is abomination to God. We cannot bow down and give in to those things because we have some power ourselves. And that power has been given us unto us to have authority over hell. Over Satan and all of his imps. We have some power, but are we exercising it? Do you exercise that power in your life? Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of Jesus Christ. Folks, of the gift of Christ, we every one have grace ministered to us. The Lord knows just how much grace that we need. We receive the gift according to the amount of measure of that gift. Some have greater wisdom. Some have more love than others. But every one of us need to attain to that, don't we? We need to be working to that. Every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. And I want us to understand this morning how important it is to have grace. Grace is a spiritual gift. It's given by God. We all have some spiritual capability to serve God and to contribute to the church, to the growth of the church. We all have some of that. Christ determines the gift, and you and I receive the amount that He sees that we need. Why is the grace given, and why are the benefits given to the church? That the church can exercise God's authority and power here on earth. You and I are representatives this morning. We're ambassadors, the Bible says, of Christ. You and I are to represent Him. Well, we can't do that without power. We can't do that without some authority. Before we finish this morning, you're going to see why. You're really going to see why, I hope, that we need this power. And why that we need to overcome. I know the Scripture says they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. But folks, and we need to have a testimony, and it is the blood of the Lamb. But that's where the power was transferred to you and I from heaven itself. When God sent His Son to be a sacrifice and gave His life for you and I. I want to move on down in this Scripture. I'm not going to dwell with all of it. But I want to look at the 12th verse. He give us some gifts for the perfecting of the saints. How many of us feel like we've been perfected? He give us some things for the perfecting of the saints. Why? Because He wants us to be perfected. He wants us to be able to exercise the power that He wants us to wield here in this life. But He also wants us to understand how to use that power. He wants us to have wisdom and to know how, when to use the power, how to use the power. But the power itself comes from God. And He said He gave some for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Lord, help us to be edified today. He wants us to be equipped. That's what He's telling us here. God wants you and I to be equipped. That we can go out and, as the Scripture says, give an account of what lies within our hearts. Give an account of what we believe. That we can resist deceitfulness. That we can resist the enemy and all of the spirits and the imps that he sends against you and I, folks. Can you stand? Ask yourself this morning, can you stand on the authority that God has given you? Will you be able to resist those things that the enemy has designed to come against you to destroy you? Can you do that? We'll say, well, we can say none of us will never know until the time comes. I think the Lord wants us to be prepared. And He wants us to get ready. Because the time is almost here. The time is here. When you and I are going to be challenged more and more. Not just by our children, adult children. Not just by our friends and family, folks. But we're going to be challenged in a greater way. That's the time we live in. It's part of the end time. And I want us to be prepared. I want us to put on the whole armor of God that we can stand even in these evil days for the perfecting of the saints. He wants us to be equipped. He wants us to be mature. Are you mature? He wants you and I to come together, individuals from different walks of life, different understanding, different backgrounds, different trials, different tests, different experiences that we've had in our life. But He wants you and I to come to the place of maturity that we can come together understanding the truth in one. There's power in unity, isn't there? The devil's always hated it, and he always will. You and I are to have an understanding. That's why he said, till we come to the... where did he say that at? Till we come to the... Help me here. Say it again. To the unity of the faith. Thank you. This thing's really difficult to deal with, but I'm trying to do the best I can with the help of the Lord. Me and my cold. So He's given you and I some things that we can mature and that we can come to an understanding of the faith. The faith is the teaching. That we can all come to the same teaching as one. That means in conduct, which is holiness. That means in modesty. That means in service to the Lord and how that I serve Him. And it also means in doctrines. Sometimes people don't like to hear that word doctrines, but they're just the truths that Jesus delivered to the church. And He said, my doctrines aren't mine, they're my Father's. Well, if they're these doctrines that we have in the Word of God are God's doctrines, they must be power for you and I. There must be some power in them for you and I to believe them and get a hold of them and walk in them. He said, till we all come, verse 13, in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's where He wants to bring us in. He wants to bring you and I into a harmonious relationship with Him and with one another. Because, folks, there's power in unity. It's when we unite together and we there's no disagreements, there's no isms, there's no schisms among us, and we all believe the same thing, and we're fighting the same enemy, the same battle, and we've all got some power that God has delivered to us. We have some authority this morning, and I say, folks, let's do not bow down to the enemy of our souls in anything that we have to deal with in life. I want you to exercise your authority. God wants you to exercise your authority. If you're His child this morning, you're a king and you're a priest. And He's given us some authority. And He wants to exercise it. Then He said that we henceforth be no more children. He wants us to be mature, doesn't He? He wants us to grow up. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Some people tend to believe about everything they hear. And they're so confused to what's truth and what isn't. But Paul said that we should mature and that we not be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. Paul said it a little stronger, didn't he? He told us what these fellows were doing. He told us what their purpose was. Cunning craftiness. They lie in wait to deceive us. Anybody here want to be deceived? Anybody here doesn't want to know what truth is? Sure we do. It's the power of God. It's the power of God, and we need it transferred into our hearts and into our lives. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now listen to this one. From whom the whole body, the power of one, You and I are individuals, folks, but when we become part of the body of Christ, the power is of one. We all are as one in Christ. The whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth. And that tells me that we need every one of us. The Lord wants every one of us. And every one of us here this morning, we need each other. I need to know how God is dealing with you. I need to know your experiences. I need to know your victories. I need to understand the things that you're going through. I need to understand your battles and your trials. We need to understand those things because we are compacted together here, fitly joined together, compacted by which every joint supplies. I thought about the fitly joined together. Brother Rick's done some framing in his life and put up buildings and rooms and things like that. And I think about being fitly joined together. When you go and you're making a room in a house and you're just putting up the bare walls, folks, you want those walls to be perfect. You want them to be even because there's going to be some drywall come along. And when the walls are all out of kilter, the drywall is not going to fit right. Things are never going to fit right. So the Lord wants you and I not fighting for our own purpose, fighting for our own reasons, but He wants us to see eye to eye. He said the day would come when they would see eye to eye in Zion. And He wants us to see eye to eye, and He wants us to work for that same same thing, the Scripture says, and that we would be fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. You have something that I need. Let me just say it that way. You have something I need. You say, well, I don't have anything that can help you. Folks, you have something I need. We all have something that someone else needs. You just don't realize it. You don't maybe know what it is, but God does. And if there's anyone that knows how to compact things together and make them fit, who is it? It's God. God can do those things according to the effectual working in the measure, according to the power that each and every part has. The effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. Jesus Christ and the disciples were the framers. They were the framers. They're the ones that brought the gospel, but the disciples helped spread it throughout the world. They were the framers of the church that you and I respect today. The church that you and I love, the church that we see in all of her holiness, in all of her purity, in all of her godliness, the church that has, that church that is triumphant and has power today against the enemy that come against it. If the enemy comes against you, he's coming against the church. If the enemy's coming against me, he's coming against the church. And we're all in this together. Fitly joined together. Don't forget your part. I know that some folks, and I'm not accusing anyone here, but some folks say, well, you know, I'll go to church and so-and-so will pray and Brother Abbott or Brother Doolittle will do the preaching and all I got to do is just sit there. Folks, there's more to it. In order to get to heaven, there's more to it than that. You've got to have some power yourself. And there's something you need to do. By that, according to the measure that every joint supplieth. The Lord wants you to supply some things. I need you. I need you to strengthen me. And we need each other, as the song says, brethren. The measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. How do you make increase, folks? By edifying one another. That's where the maturity comes. That's where the growth comes. Folks, that's where the power comes. The power of one. We become one. When the church is, A marriage is likened unto the church, the Bible says. When a man and a woman come together and become husband and wife, they become what? One. And when you and I bring our sins to the altar and Jesus comes into our heart and life, we become what? One with Jesus Christ. There's a oneness here that is the power of the church. And every one of us has a responsibility to see to it that we do our part to give the power to the church that is needed today to overcome the things that are coming against us. And I'm going to talk about that by the help of the Lord. I want to use another scripture. There's more that can be said there, but I want to use another scripture to solidify this. 1 John, the 5th chapter. 1 John 5:5. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? You see, we need power to overcome, don't we? Starts with ourselves. We got to overcome self. We got to get victory over self. We got to conquer the old man here and bring him under in order to be able to be any good to anyone else. God gives us power to do that. So he said, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. There are three that bear record in heaven. You see the unity here? You see the oneness? The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. You see the power of one there? God has the power. He sent His Son that He could give you and I some of that power to be able to stand, Paul said, in these evil days. You and I must be able to stand. But we can't be wimpy about it. God didn't call a bunch of wimps. He called people to stand true and faithful. The three Hebrew children were not wimps. When everyone else bowed down, they stood tall and they stood firm and said, you can give us all the chances you want, but we are not bowing. Saints, we cannot afford to bow to the idols of this world today. We cannot afford to bow down to their ideology, to their gods that they have out. We cannot afford to do that because the power of God is in the Word. And that's our authority today. Why do you stand so strong? Why do you stand so firm? Because it's the Word of God. And His Word is His power. The power that He has given to you and I. The Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost. These three are one. That is God's relationship to Himself. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. You and I must have agreement. You and I must see eye to eye. You and I must come to the unity of the faith. Oh, how long is it going to take some poor souls to come to the unity of the faith? How long are people going to keep making excuses and saying, I don't believe that, I don't understand that, I can't get there, I don't have the grace to do that? Folks, He has promised us to give us the gift of grace according to the measure that worketh in each and every one of us. Yes, we have no excuses. We can make all the excuses we want, but there is no excuse because God has given us power. And He said the three that bear witness right here in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. You know what this is a type of right here? You know what this is a type of? Washing of the water by the Word. This is the type of the water. This is the Word, folks, that God has given to you and I. And they bear witness. They bear witness to the truth right here on earth. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which He has testified of His Son. Folks, we have a witness that goes beyond all shadow of a doubt. It goes beyond all of men's naysays, all the scorners, all the scoffers, all the things that are being said and done in our world today. We have a witness in heaven and in earth of the power of one. We have that power today. But sometimes it concerns me that we don't exercise it. John said in 1 and 12 of John, he said, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Oh, saints, let's don't live beneath our privilege. Let's don't bow down to the threats, the fears that the enemy wants to bring our way. Let's don't bow down to those things. We have some power today, and I'm so grateful for it. And we're going to need it. Why does the church need the power? I want to touch on a few things, if you'll bear with me. We're right in the throes of battle today. We're in the throes. We're right in the middle of battle. Everybody don't understand this battle, but the Scriptures are very plain about the battle that we're in. We see the devil, we all see the devil, gathering his forces today. He's gathering his army. This is his last hope. This is his last stand. As Brother Jim White said a few years back, when the devil knows that when the end of time, when time is no more, that he will never be able to deal with the soul of a man again. So the enemy has pulled out all stops. And who's in the midst of this? The church. What is your responsibility? My responsibility is to overcome. As the scripture comes to my mind over there in Joshua, if you run with the footmen and they weary you, how are you going to contend with the horses? How are you going to deal with the greater trials, the greater tests that come your way? If the footmen weary you, and if you can't handle that, what are you going to do with the swelling of Jordan? Folks, I want to tell you. You're right in here with me now. We're going to do this together. But we're facing the swelling of Jordan. Sin's overflowed the banks, folks. Now the enemy, he's not just wanting to come against us with sin. He wants to come against us with all the evil that hell can throw against us. You understand that? He's coming against us with all the evil that he can contrive to destroy the church of God. It's the church of God that he hates. Jesus told the disciples the gates of hell will not prevail again. Isn't that encouraging? Why isn't the gates of hell? Because God's dependent on you. He's depending on you and me. He's depending on us. So we've got to rise up and we've got to overcome those things that we have to deal with personally. And I pray that God will give us the vision of looking out there and seeing what is coming, not just against me, but against the church of God. Because if he takes down the church of God, he'll take you with it. That's right. You're part of the church. The church of God's not going down. I just want to say that right there. The devil's gathering his army. God has gathered his army too. And I'm looking at some of it here. I'm looking at some of his army. God's counting on you folks to be faithful. Now I know that I'm getting in dangerous territory here, but I'm going to teach you something the way that I believe it and the way I believe the Bible teaches it. I'm going to go into Revelations. And I want to start in the 20th chapter of Revelation. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now here's why we need the power of one today. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now, there's a teaching today about the millennium. And people are waiting on these 1,000 years. Folks, when you read Revelation, you really need a lot of the wisdom of the Spirit of God to lead you into truth. And you need understanding to know what is literal and what is spiritual. Now, I'm going to say for my dissertation here this morning that this 1,000 years is a period of time. And it is not a time. And I say this with all the fear of God upon my heart. It is not a time that is coming. It is not a time when God's going to rapture up people, His people, and leave some back here to fight against the enemy. That is not the millennium, and that is not truth. It's not truth, folks. Despite a lot of people believing it, it's not true. I've done Bible studies on the rapture and on the millennium, and the Bible doesn't bear that out. Now, I can take a scripture over here in Thessalonians, and I can pick a scripture over here in the book of Revelations, and I can make it sound that way. But 1,000 years is a period of time. And I don't want to go any farther than that with that period of time. He said, devil of the Satan and Satan and bound him 1,000 years. Who did that? God. God. He's the one that has the power. Let's remember that. And cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Well, we know when the man child was born, we know that the church went into the wilderness and she was protected by God. And there was a time when the enemy couldn't get to her and deceive her and work among her. And God took care of those kind of things. It was a period of time that happened in the past. It's not to be happening in the future. But we do have a future. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon the foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. I don't proceed to know exactly what period of time that may have been describing. But I have read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, and I do understand that many people gave their life because of the beast, because they refused to believe the doctrines and the teachings of the Romanish Church in their day and time. There's been... There's been martyrs for God all down through time. Stephen, they say, was the first martyr. Christ was the one that gave his life for us. I kind of consider him a martyr for the cause of God. Any way that you want to look at it. But the rest of the dead. What's he talking about? Live not again. Until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. The first resurrection, folks, is salvation. That's the first resurrection. That's when he said the rest of the dead that live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the dead in Christ. We're dead to sin and alive in Christ this morning. And he said the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. I thank God for the first resurrection. That's what you and I are enjoying this morning. But it brings us to a responsibility of having power. Becoming one in Christ. That we can defeat this enemy, this foe. That has come from the bottomless pit to destroy us. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. There's that 1,000 years again. Millennium is Latin for 1,000 years. It's a period of time. Brother Austin Wilson taught that. It was a period of time. He didn't know what it was either. But he said it was a period of time. Maybe you do. And when 1,000 years are expired, now here's where you and I are. Here's where we are today. When 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Lord, help me. I'm sure the devil don't like this kind of preaching anyway, so please pray for me. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Who's Gog and Magog? Putting it quite simply, Gog and Magog are the enemies of truth. The enemies of truth. Who can be behind that is only Satan himself. His spirits and all of his imps from hell arrayed against us, folks. And he said it again. And shall go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them to battle. Our battle is against Rome this morning. And that's why we need power. The enemy is exercising all he can get. All that God will give him today. Remember that little verse over there in Romans, the first chapter, where it said because they did these things were not convenient, God turned them over, gave them over to a reprobate mind. You see, God's going to give the enemy time. And he's going to give him a little opportunity. This is his last stand. His last stand. And you and I are in it. You and I are living it today. Oh, we need power to overcome, saints. We need power to live this life. To live a holy life. That's the thing that the enemy hates. That a church would live a holy life, would be godly, would be pure, would be righteous people. God, the devil hates righteous people, folks. Lord, help you and I to stand up as one and be strong in this thing. Because Gog and Magog, the enemies of truth. You see, down through time, since Christ, and even before Christ, there was paganism. We all have heard of paganism, pagan worship, worship of idol gods, Romanism, and Protestantism. Every one of them under the leadership of Antichrist. Every one of them having a spirit that is Antichrist. And all down through time, there's been different movements. I can take you to the 13th chapter of Revelations, where it talks about the first beast, and then it talks about the second beast. It's an explanation of the Roman Catholicism, and it's an explanation of Protestantism coming along behind it and giving worship to the first beast. And folks, Protestantism today, they do the same things that the Catholic Church does. They conduct their services, they do the ashes on Lent, they go through all the ceremonialism, and they do those kind of things. It just gives credence and power to the beast. Well, in the past, they were all on the stage one at a time. Now, we have a combine. What you and I face today is a combine of paganism, Romanism, and Protestantism. Denominationalism, that's Protestantism. They're all working together under the spirit or the leadership of Antichrist. There is a movement today that is making strides. While you and I are going to work and going to bed and eating our meals and doing this and doing that and just living life, there's a movement today that's making strides toward combining all the world's religions, including so-called Christianity, into a general world church. Gog and Magog. Gog and Magog. Enemies of the truth. Can you stand? Are we going to stand, saints? You know, in order for us to stand, we may have to be willing to give our lives. We may have to. How important is heaven to you? It's very important to me. And I ask God for grace. That if I have to do that, He'll give me grace to do it. And grace to stand. Paul said, I don't want to preach to others and mind myself be a castaway. Saints, I got to make it. And I know that I'm to be an example before the believers. I understand that. We all are. Lord, help us. We need power. It comes from who? God. You want power? You want to be able to stand? Go to God. It comes from God. They went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints. Of course. It's the church that He's against. It's the church that He wants to destroy. Jesus knew these things when He was talking to the disciples and said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus knew these things. God knows the beginning and He knows the end, folks. And He knows just everything that the devil, He's going to allow the devil to do. And the devil's going to do so much and God's going to say, that's enough, no more. Because He's the power. He's the final authority. But He's going to allow His saints today. He's going to allow you and I to go through some perilous times. Some troublesome times. They went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Folks, I tell you, it's so sad when I hear people talking about the beloved city being Jerusalem and all those kind of things and literal things here on earth. Folks, He's talking spiritual here. He's talking spiritual here. The city of God, the holy Jerusalem, the one we read about in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. He's talking about a holy Jerusalem. People today, there's many people believe Jesus is coming back and He's coming back to Israel and He's going to reign and all these kind of things. Folks, He's not coming back to Israel. He's not going to come back and set His foot on this earth ever again. But there's all kinds of that stuff. He went out to deceive the nations. And maybe you don't believe those things. But there are millions of people that believe those things. And they're going to be lost too. They're going to be lost. Saints, we need some power. Be one with God. Be one with Christ this morning because we need some power We're in a battle. It's already been laid out. The enemy has his forces and God has his forces. Are we going to be part of that? Lord, help us. It's going to take some consecration and determination on our part that we'll be true to our part in this battle that we're fighting against the enemy of our souls. Paul speaks about spiritual wickedness in high places, doesn't he? He's talking about the ecclesiastical heavens, the heavens where man is. He's talking about the spiritual, the religious or church heavens. That's what he's talking about. Spiritual wickedness in high places today. Just because a man stands up with a big mitre on his head and says something profound and people bow down and worship doesn't mean that you and I ought to be getting caught up with that kind of stuff. The power of God is the gospel of Christ. Stay with the gospel. Don't be deceived by every wind of doctrine and everything out there that the devil's throwing at us today. He's throwing it at us. Lord, help us to have power to overcome it. Probably didn't expect something like this Sunday morning. Nevertheless, this is what the Lord gave us. Let's look at 16th chapter of Revelation. There's more that could be read there in the 20th, but that'd take me a whole another direction. The 16th chapter and the 13th verse. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon. Who's the dragon? And out of the mouth of the beast. And out of the mouth of the false prophet. Unclean spirits. Antichrist spirits. Where they come from? From Satan. From Catholicism. And from Protestantism. Are you a Protestant? I'm not a Protestant. I'm not a Protestant. I'm not protesting anything out there. I'm standing for the old gospel truth. The old past, the old way. I'm not protesting anything out there. I'm not going to get down on their level and do their kind of thing in the world. But folks, it said here that these unclean spirits, and identifies them. They are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and the whole world. To gather them to the battle of that great day. Same battle. That great day of God Almighty. God Almighty. One of the Old Testament fellows says something about he was God Almighty. He's still God Almighty today, folks. He's a God of truth and a God of power. But he said, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Oh, I get so tired of hearing people say sometimes out there. You get them started on this. Oh, but Armageddon's coming. Armageddon's coming. And they don't even realize that Armageddon's already here. And Armageddon will whisk us in all this whole world into eternity. Armageddon will do that. It's here. It's not coming. You don't have to look for. You're not going to see literal Armageddon. It's a spiritual battle of right against wrong. And he explains this here. I mean, he explains it to us. He lays it out and he tells us what this battle is against. These unclean spirits. It's the ecclesiastical heaven, the deception of truth. Trying to put out and portray things that are not true, that are contrary to the Word of God. That's our battle today. And it isn't just in the Romanish church either. It's all around us. It's all around us. There's wickedness and evil in high places. They're meant to deceive, he said, and do battle. 19th chapter of Revelations. I hope you're getting something from this. I'm trying to explain why we need power. We need to be united. We need that. Jesus prayed for it in his final prayer that we have a recording of, that we may be one, even as he and his Father was one. He prayed for that. And he knew how important it was going to be that you and I can come together. Oh, we may talk a little different. We may have different mannerisms. None of that stuff matters, folks. It's you and I having a heart after God's own heart. It's you and I accepting and living to the truth. That's what it is. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what you act like as a human being. But folks, it matters that you have the truth of God hidden in your heart. And you have a desire. You're hungering and thirsting after the things of God, after righteousness. It matters, folks, whether you're saved or unsaved. It matters. It matters. Preacher can't save you and he can't unsave you. Only God can do those things. But it matters where you are, what your stand is, what your belief is. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even as many that believed on his name. Okay, 19th chapter, verse 11. Hopefully I'll be done here in a little bit. And I saw heaven open. And behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he doth judge and make war. Who was that? Jesus? That's Jesus. That's Jesus. He's the writer. What he is describing here is the beginning of the gospel age. The beginning of the gospel age, when Jesus came to the earth and began to teach and to preach the gospel. He's the writer, that's right. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. Do you believe they were literally that way? I believe this is spiritual speech here. This is spiritual speech. Man, when it comes to describing God, our words are going to pale tremendously. They're going to fail. So we have to use the things that we know and understand to describe the things that we see. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. The power of God. The gospel is the power of God, isn't it? And the armies which were in heaven, you can try to put that in any heaven that you want to, but this is a spiritual army that he's talking about, followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God, and on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to remind every one of us this morning, no matter what your battles are, no matter where you find yourself in your station of life, no matter what you have to deal with, yes, we're in a war, but we're fighting from victory. Please remember that. You're fighting a battle this morning against the enemy of your soul. But you're fighting with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No one any greater. Nothing any greater, folks, than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It isn't a man, but it's the one with supreme, all-encompassing power and glory that you and I can be successful. That we can conquer and win our battles right here in this life. That we can live with Him. That's what He desires for us. Scripture said it's not His will that any perish, but that we should all come to repentance. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I think I want to it is by the Word of God combined with the Holy Spirit that sin is exposed and people are convicted of sin, and through obedience of the Word they are saved. It's by the Word of God. Verse 19, and I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Look around, saints. You're part of that army this morning. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with fire and brimstone, slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with flesh, their flesh. Folks, there is coming a great day. There is coming a judgment day where man may stand up and try to defend his position. But when that day comes, I want to say that every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that He is the Christ, and He is going to have the final say, and He is going to send the unbeliever to his destination. Say, well, God wouldn't do that. No, they sent themselves there because they received not a love for the truth. You send yourselves there. God doesn't do it. He's just the final judge. And how the final end is going to come. I got to read another one here. I know I'm cutting some scriptures off, but I need to move on. Revelations 14. And 14. And I looked, and behold a white cloud upon the cloud. And upon that cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud. And he said, thrust in thy sickle, and reap. For the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Saints, that's where we are. That's where we are today. We're at a reaping time. And Jesus has thrust in his sickle. He that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And we're in a reaping time. The gospel will separate the sheep and the goats. The gospel will. It will right here in this time's world, the gospel will separate the sheep and the goats. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud voice, cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. The time is soon to come when that will happen. It will be fully ripe. Only God will decide that. Jesus said he didn't even know the day or the hour. And listen, the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth, cast it into the great wine press of the wrath of God. And the wine press was trodden without the city. Blood came out of the wine press, even into the horse's bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. It always amazes me to hear some of these revelation fellows tell me about how the blood's going to get so deep it's going to get up to the horse's bridle. Once again, this is spiritual language. And I just want to say it this way. The blood of souls is running very deep right now. Those that are rejecting, those that are taking their own way, those that are being deceived willfully, those that are following another God, those that are following a man, those that are following false teachings and things like that, folks, the blood of souls is running very deep right now. This is spiritual language. And we'll never see in this time's world the blood of men. That'd take a lot of blood, folks, for it to get so deep that it would come up to the horse's bridle. Sometimes I think those people just don't even use common sense making some of those statements. But the blood of souls is running deep. The sickle has been thrust in. And he said, here the wine press was trodden without the city. Where was Jesus taken when they crucified him? Without the gate. He was taken without the city. Saints, you and I have some suffering to do. You and I have some things to endure. But we have a song that says heaven will surely be worth it all. You know, I believe that. I do believe that. Heaven will surely be worth it all. God is cutting deep today. The Word of God is cutting very deep today. And I've been praying. And I'm going to take the liberty to say this. That God will speak to our ministry. That our ministry will have a burden and a concern and preach the gospel message of the needed message of today and time that we're living in. I have no problem with talking about God's love and the love of God and all those kind of things, but folks, people need to be stirred. We need to be stirred. We need to realize we are facing hell in all of its array against us. We need to find out where we need to be. We need to come together and stand strong and stand true and stand faithful. God is wanting His church to unite as one power against all the devil's devices. You see why we need to have power? You see why we need to be as one? There's one fold. There's one shepherd. There's one body. One church of God kept in His name. One divine institution organized by Jesus Christ Himself. Man didn't organize it. Presided over and supervised by the Holy Spirit. The power of one. God didn't give us a multiplicity of spirits, multiplicity of bodies. He didn't give us a multiplicity of anything that we had to try to get right in our mind. We can all deal with one. The power of one. That's how we're going to stand in these days. We're going to have the power come together, united. You know, sometimes people kind of go over that unity of the faith. Oh, we all have the unity of the Spirit, and that's good. But till we come, it's time to come. I'm going to have to say this morning, it's time to come to the same understanding of the faith and to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. It's time. It's time to come. Brother was talking in Sunday school about this area out here, the court. Revelation's 11th chapter says he gave him a reed to measure the temple, but he said the court that is without, you leave it out. The court can never measure to holiness. It can never measure to the truth of God's Word. We must come into the temple where there's power with God. We got to have that power. I've said it several times in the past, and I started to say it in Sunday school. I've seen people down through the years start out living for the Lord and they get about $3 worth. I know people that love to come around the saints because they love to hear them sing. They love their songs. I know people that actually love to come around the saints because they know they're good people and they're trustworthy. Some of them love to hear some of our preaching, but they got about $3 worth. They don't really want to live a holy life. They don't really want to be a part of this. Folks, we're in a war. We need to go all the way. We need to go all the way with God. All the way. And Lord, help us as we start out on the year 2016 to realize that we need to have some priorities. And that's putting God first in our life. That's the number one priority that we ought to have. It's putting Him first in everything that has to do with my soul. In other words, I could say it this way. Put yourself first. Put your soul, your soul first. Realize the value of it and what it's going to take for your soul to be saved. Putting God first, folks. The church today, we need Christ working in our midst. And it all begins with you. Think about that. It all begins with you. Oh, there's a lot could be said, a lot could be read, and all those kind of things. That's my little message this morning. God seemed like really laid that heavy on my heart. The power of one. There's power in this thing. He said over there, and I was going to turn over and read it in the 18th chapter of Matthew. I know I've gone a little long, but I feel like the Lord's been blessing it. He said, if any two of you on earth agree as touching any one thing that they shall ask, it shall be given. There's some power there. He didn't say any one of you. He said any two of you agree on earth as touching any one thing. We say sometimes, and he goes on in the next verse and says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst. And we use that sometime, and it's okay to say, well, we got enough to claim the promise. There's a couple of us here. There's three of us here. Folks, I want to tell you how important that you really are to the church. For the church to have power. I want you to understand that. I want to drive it home this morning. I'm not trying to drive it down your throat. I'm trying to drive it home in your mind and in your heart. To realize how important it is, two or three. We don't have a large group here. We don't have a large congregation here, but God's blessing us. God's here. Folks, I want to tell you, if I start recognizing that God isn't going to come down here and meet with us, I'm done. Here. I'm done. But we need God. Come down and meet us. Because we're dealing with all kinds of corruption. We're dealing with all kinds of evil. Our government's corrupt. Our government's so corrupt today. They're so greedy. They're so selfish. Self-serving. They don't care nothing about you and I. They don't care about nothing about being a Democrat or Republican. They're after their desires and their purpose. And you and I are just pawns on a little chessboard. We'll just move you here, and we'll take the middle class there, and the lower class, and the higher class, and we'll do it. We're just pawns on a chessboard. You and I need to stand up for the truth. We need to stand. We got something valuable. You can look around and you can say, brother, you're foolish. All these millions of people out here can't be that way. They're all wrong and we're right. Folks, the thing that is right here. This is what's right. The Word of God. And the Holy Spirit to interpret it to you and I. So we can understand the depths of the truth. So you and I can have the glory of God. So even though there's just a handful when someone comes to our altar to be saved, that there's still deliverance at our altars. When someone comes to our altars to be healed, that there's still healing at our altars. Why? Because of this right here. Because of the truth, folks. There's power in it. We can have power with God if we'll stand by the truth. But I've tried to lay out just to give you a little taste this morning of what you're up against, what you're fighting. I want you to know it's just as real as the nose on your face. This is real. And we're fighting it today. But we're fighting with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on our side. Let's say it this way. I'm on His side. He's the side I'm taking. And we need to go forth conquering, the Scripture says. Conquering, and overcoming in this precious name of Jesus. God's given it to us, saints. Let's wield the sword of the Spirit. Let's fight this good fight of faith because we're being challenged. You ever been challenged? Have you ever really been challenged? You're being challenged. Challenges may get a little stronger. I don't know. God knows. But I know one thing. You and I need to be and can be ready. And Lord, help us that we'll be ready to fight against the foe, the enemy of our souls. Pray for me that I'll be faithful. Thank you for your prayers.